It's only every 4 years that in the summertime you get the Olympics. And our family has enjoyed watching the Olympics. And so I decided, you know what, today let's do a sermon and look to the Word where it confers with the Olympics and talks about the games, and then consider what that means for us today. So Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're going to be, verses 1 and 2, just two verses today. And I want to pray, and then we'll dive into the text. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the gift it is, the joy it is. Father, it is food for our souls. It is water to thirsty souls and hungry hearts that desire to know you and to worship you and love you and be changed by you. Lord, do that today, we pray. We believe in the power of your Word. Lord, your Spirit is moving and alive today. Stir our hearts. Let us hear these words from you and encourage us, strengthen us, renew our focus and our strength in you and our joy in this journey, this great race that you have given us to run. We look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've enlisted the help of some incredible athletes. They are of a younger age. And so I would ask for our living and breathing and maybe sweating illustration this morning, that you kids go ahead, you can close your Bibles up, get those in a minute, and let's just get some laps running, okay? Just all the way around, we want to see some laps. This is a marathon, not a sprint. So kids, start running. We're going to go this way, counterclockwise. Yep, keep going. All right, now don't trip and don't run anybody over. That's good. Let's see how long they can go. There's things you do when you don't have children's church. You parents will thank me in a minute. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Two verses, but wow, those verses are packed full of glorious truth. And so what I did this week is I studied, I know, I'm going to just keep going. Keep going, you're doing good. Maybe a little faster. Come on, pick it up. We're training for the Olympics here. What I did this past week is I took the Greek and I just laid out these two verses. And word by word, look through each word as it relates to the next. How's it spoken? What does it connect to? And how do these verses diagram out? And I had a lot of fun with that. Okay, I can see this isn't really going to work for the whole sermon. So, kids, thank you. Thank you. Let's give them a round of applause. All right. Good. Okay. Good job, guys. Good job. Good running. Whoever told you you can't run in church? The Olympic Games began in Greece in 776 BC. So over 700 years before Jesus was even born, the Olympic Games began. And the leadership out there, the government of Greece, had all kinds of fighting taking place within its territory. And they thought, you know what? How about some spirited competition to kind of put a break or a pause in all this fighting? And everybody will send representatives, and they'll compete. And then we'll have this kind of be a sporting thing. Instead of killing one another, we'll compete on the track and field and do some different things. So they did running and running races. They did long jump. Believe it or not, shot put. A lot of the events that we know now are rooted in military history. So javelin, clearly that's easy. Shot put, I don't know what is going on. You hit someone with a big steel ball. That wouldn't feel good. Boxing, that's easy to figure out. Equestrian has its roots in chariot racing and all the work with the horses and the battle horses and that kind of thing. Wrestling, I use the word wrestling here, but it's actually, this is how it was. It was two guys who go after one another until one of them's unconscious. So there were very few rules. And then the guy that wins, he gets an olive wreath, which is a symbol for peace, okay? So the winner, the guy who knocks the guy senseless, gets the olive branch wreath, which is just the irony there is kind of funny. But and then this would have been probably the most comical, the full armor race, okay? You've got these guys with all their armor, heavy stuff, fully suited up, and then they have to race to a distance. And the way I see this is like the last time you went to a baseball game and you see the guys put their head around and they do this and then they have to run to first base. I imagine that's kind of like what this was like. This would have been hilarious. You know, guys just loaded down, trying to run, trip and fall, can't get up. That's how it was, at least in my mind. Now, what's interesting is that this was taking place hundreds of years before Jesus was born, certainly before the church even began. So then if you do some history work and you study the early church and the actual Olympic Games, you find that they overlap considerably. Now, there was a point later on where they were canceled because of their connection to the Greek gods and pagan worship. They started up again more recently in history. At the point that the church began, Pentecost happened, Acts chapter 2, the Olympic Games were in full swing as they had been for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So the audience, certainly the audience of Paul, as he did his missionary work, would have been so in just rooted in the Olympic Games and the whole idea of athletes and races and competitions and Olympics. Okay? So I want that to be the context for which we read these verses, because this is clearly in view. As you read these verses, you'll see it other places in Paul as he refers to the race or the boxer disciplining his body like an athlete would. So I picked some words as well on your sermon notes. You can just list these words as we move down. The first word is inspiration. Every Olympic athlete, if you ask them, has someone who has inspired them. You watch these interviews, they're always so awkward. You know, the lady who interviews the swimmers, what were you thinking when you crossed the finish line? I don't know. I'm glad I crossed the finish line. How do you? But the question she asked the other day was wonderful. As a child, who inspired you to be who you are today? Instant answers. So-and-so, this person. Inspiration. As a Christian, as we run the race, we are to look for inspiration. And that's where we begin, verse 1a. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's just look at that. Begins with the therefore. If you've been in church for any period of time, you've heard this. You always have to ask, what is the therefore, therefore? Okay, so if I came up to you and I began a sentence this way, therefore, John, it's important that you would stop me and say, what? Did I miss something? Right? Clearly, something has just been said that we need to know about. All of Hebrews 11 is in view. The writer of Hebrews 11 has just wrapped up the Hall of Faith, in keeping with our sports theme, the Hall of Faith. And he's given examples from Abel to Abraham to Sarah to Rahab and David and Gideon and the prophets. And he's listed stories from their lives of how they ran the race. And then he says, therefore. And he clarifies what the therefore means. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Cloud of witnesses. Now, if you're running a race at the Olympics, I think they said something like 80,000 people can fit in Olympic Stadium for the track and field events. That's the cloud of witnesses. We're talking grandstands here. You're in the race, the stands are full, and you are surrounded. You are surrounded. And it's as if they are cheering you on, testifying, witnesses to the race that you are running right now. The cloud of witnesses. The words surrounded by really pique our curiosity. What does it mean that we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. Does that mean that their testimony or their witness surrounds us? Their example serves to be that way for us as we run the race? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's possible that this cloud of witnesses is actually witnessing as we run the race. They're seeing us, that they are a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Go, you can do it. Keep the faith. Trust the Lord. Obey him. Honor him. Serve him. Depend upon him. Wouldn't that be interesting? Not just the cloud referred to in 11, but possibly those believers who have already gone to heaven. It's possible that they are looking down and like a cloud or a crowd at an arena cheering on the saints as we run the race of faith day by day. What does that do for you? I don't know. I know exactly what my grandma and grandpa would look like if they were sitting in the stands cheering me on as I woke up in the morning to run the race. I know what they'd be saying. Trust him. Listen to him. Depend upon him, Jeremy. Look to him. We are here. It's real. Your faith will be made full someday. Keep running. Don't quit. Cloud of witnesses. Whether they see us or not, the testimony of their life shapes and inspires us to run. You could say it this way. Their witness inspires our fitness. The witness of those forerunners, the ones who have gone before, inspires us to run the race. Don't quit. Don't let up. Don't be distracted. Run hard. So inspiration. Second word, discipline. Discipline. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let's stop there. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let's say that I'm sitting on my couch and I watch Michael Phelps do his thing. Isn't that awesome? That guy is the swimming dude, okay? Let's say I'm on my couch and I'm here with my remote and I'm drinking my root beer and eating some chips. Pretty common. I like root beer and Doritos, okay? Cheering them on, go Michael. And I'm thinking to myself, that's inspiring. I want to do that, okay? I think I'm going to be an Olympian. I want to be an Olympian. What? You laugh. What must I do? Put away the root beer. Put away the Doritos. Put down the remote. Get up off the couch. And begin to discipline my body to that end. I remember a point along the way where I was meeting with a couple who wanted to put Christ first in their marriage. We want Jesus to be the heart and soul of who we are, and we want him to be the epicenter of all that we're about. Yes, I'm cheering him on. That's good. You want that. Now, what does that look like right now? What does it translate to? Say on Monday, what does that look like? I don't know. What do you mean? Well, I mean, like with the Bible, how many days during the week are you spending time in the Word? None. Well, what about prayer? Well, when bad stuff happens. You see? Desire without discipline is like me sitting on the couch wanting to be Michael Phelps. You got to do something. You got to get up. You got to work. Being a Christian is not sitting on a couch clicking through the channels. It's active. It takes discipline. It takes desire and discipline. We have to work. Is this a label or is it my lifestyle? So many people, especially in the West out here in America, they say, I'm a Christian for sure. Show me. What does that look like? Well, you know, I, I got a Bible. I'm not really sure where it's at, but I've got one, right? And it's got a fish on my bumper. Doesn't that qualify for some? No. Is it a label or is it your life? Jesus would say, if all you have is a label, you have nothing. It's as silly as me trying to be Phelps sitting on my couch. Let us also, look at these words. He says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin. Why is the also there? The word also jumped off the page. How come he doesn't just say, let us lay aside? Let us also. That word looks backwards as well. As they did, the cloud of witnesses, so too should we lay aside the weight and the sin. Let us also take your cue from those who've run the race and do what they did. They were ordinary people, sinners saved by grace. They blew it time and time again. We saw that over and over with Abraham. But look how he grew. Look how he worked to be consistent and submit to the Lord and faithful, to kill sin in his life, to trust God. Like that, do the work, the discipline of following Christ. Lay aside, take off, stop, put away. That's what that word means, to lay aside. Cease doing this and start doing this. Lay aside. What are we to lay aside? Well, every weight, the bulk or the burden, hindrance or encumbrance. It would be as if a runner is in the starting blocks. They're doing all these time trials, and here comes a guy, and he's got this huge backpack on. Big sleeping bag up above it. And on his arms, he's got a briefcase over here and a couple barbells over here, and he's in the blocks. You know, oh, forgot my headband. Okay, go. How's that going to go? He's not going anywhere. Those guys are going to go flying past him. Lose the weight. What is in the backpack? What keeps you from your stride as a believer? What is it that trips your feet up? What is it that's in your hands that you won't let go of, but you still want to run the race? Those are convicting questions. There are times when the Lord makes clear the sin in our life and we say, oh, but I don't want to let go. I don't want to let it go. And he says, do you want to run? Or do you want to just stay bogged down? Just dragging this thing along. Lay it aside. Get rid of it. Throw off the backpack. Get rid of the burden and the bulk. And you will find your stride. A big piece of this puzzle is the sin which clings so closely. We know this. That battle, that ongoing battle, that which I do not want to do, that which I do not want to do, I do. Who will save me from this body of corruption? Apostle Paul's words. We know what it's like to fight the battle. What he's saying is, discipline yourself. You have to be disciplined to obey Christ. You have to kill sin. So the question then would come to us, am I regularly, as I run this race, am I looking for baggage? Am I looking for sin? Am I looking for the bulk and the burden that bogs me down? And when I find it, will I let it go? Or will I cling to it and try to drag it along up the track? This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Is that true? What I've found consistently in my life is if I am dragging something along, it interferes with my intimacy with God, it slows me down, it gets me distracted, and I see it, he lovingly convicts me of it. Welcome that. Welcome the conviction of God. But then discipline yourself and kill that sin by his Spirit and in his word. Be in the book. He'll show you the baggage. Oh, man. He'll show you the baggage. The harder you run, the more you seek to find that stride as you run in the word and you dig into the faith, the more he'll reveal things that you never knew. And you'll start to peel stuff off you didn't even see before. Sometimes your spouse can be the most helpful person in your life to this end. Invite it. Honey, I am seeking to run this race, and I know I'm a sinner. Help me. Point this out. When you see rocks in this backpack, tell me. I don't want the backpack. I want the stride. Find people who will love you enough to point out the book and the burden. Be disciplined. So inspiration, discipline, and then perseverance. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run, run with endurance the race that is set before us. Perseverance. Olympic athletes have to persevere. They have to persevere. In fact, it's inspiring to watch. I won't let up. If you want to win gold, you have to know that word, perseverance. There are times when every Christian needs a good, swift kick in the pants to run the race of faith. One of the benefits of our race that we run here is that we have one another. We're not running alone. We have elders and pastors and shepherds who care for us, and sometimes they come alongside and get going, come on. It's a race. It's not a walk. Don't meander. You're in a race. You are called to run the race. Run. So easy to forget. At times, though, we need to remind ourselves that though it is a race, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. The word race translates to this, struggle or fight. Struggle. Run the fight. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Don't quit. Persevere. Run. Sometimes run in your life will mean I will do everything I can to get the next foot out there and then down. And then another one and down. And it might seem like you're running in your sleep. You know those dreams where you're trying to run and just but run the race. Endurance and perseverance. For the Christian, these words matter so much. You must persevere to win the prize. You have to. If you do not persevere, you will not win the prize. Those whom he has chosen, whom he is saving, whom he will save, he will bring through in persevering strength. But persevere, you see. You have to persevere. You cannot quit. Our Olympic gold medalist in the road race, the lady, amazing. She fell, broke her collarbone, and then the race just a couple days before that, she slipped on the road when it was wet, and she got run over and bonked and brutal. She gets back and gets on her bike for the road race. And she goes crazy. And she tears around this course. Still recovering from a broken collarbone. Comes in and wins gold. And the lady who's interviewing her at the end says, "What was on your mind as you finished this race?" Right? Best question ever. The finish line! No, this is what she said. How much pain can I handle? How much more of this can I deal with? How much farther can I really go? I love that response. Have you ever been there? Been fighting the fight of faith, running the race of faith, and all of a sudden a corner and you're like, whoa, I did not see that. How steep is this hill? How long is this road? Lord, can I do this? The answer is yes. Look to me. Depend upon me. Persevere, Christian. Don't give up. Look at this. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The word set can also translate to marked out. When an Olympic athlete comes to the track, He is not the architect of the track, nor is he the one who paved the track or the one who laid out the cones for the road race. He is simply the one who is to run the race, pedal the bike, finish the race. So often as Christians, we concern ourselves with things that are far beyond our ability to know. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written the days marked out for me, ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Before I ever took the track, you laid out the course. You see what he's saying? We run the race. God sets the course. No surprises, no turns or twists, challenges, storms that he doesn't see coming. He sets the course. How precious are your thoughts, O God? How vast is the sum of them? The why questions rarely can be answered. Lord, I was running hard, and all of a sudden, boom, brick wall, and I smacked right into it. And then I had to turn and run this way. Why? Why? We might never know. We can answer questions like, what do you want me to do? How can I glorify you? How can I go on? I'll look to you. But why did this happen? Sometimes we'll never know. But God knows. That he's the same one who said, I will work all things for the good of those who love me and are called according to my purpose. All things. Your course, he works for your good. Even the dark days and the valley of the shadow of death. Run through the tape. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Run through the tape. There was a race early on. Michael Phelps was swimming. Even Michael Phelps blows it. Of course, he still got silver. He let up at the end of the race rather than pushing all the way into the wall. He coasted just for the smallest little bit. He coasted in, and he lost the gold. And he said to the interviewer, my coach has told me that 1,000 times. And I did it. I let up. I didn't run through the tape. I just kind of slid in. If you have many years under your belt this morning, don't let up. Don't slide across the finish line. If God has given you the glory of gray hairs, we want you to know we need you. We need you in this church. We want you in the race. Pray, participate, encourage, share wisdom, grant us the joy of your fellowship. Don't slide across the line or golf your way to heaven. We just want you to know we want you here. We need you to be with us. Run all the way through. Focus is the next word. Focus. What are we to focus on? Well, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. We're to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. You know, it's so easy in a race to get distracted. One of our backstroke swimmers was bringing it home, and all of a sudden she said, I got distracted, and I took my eyes off those white flags you're supposed to watch real close to stay in the middle of your lane. She said, I got distracted and I started to drift. She ran into the barrier on the side of the pool. She hits that thing and snaps out of it and then gets the flags back and then gets back in her lane. But she lost time because she was swerving off the course. It's easy to do that as Christians, isn't it? You take your eye off the mark, you lose sight of the focus of your race, and all of a sudden, you're swerving off into something different. and you start slowing down and you keep hitting the wall and what is that? This isn't right. We've lost our focus. Satan is the master of distraction. He is the master of, he will come against you to distract you in any way he can. He will throw money, success, failure, good people in your life to try to distract you to worship them instead of God. And we are called constantly, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Notice how it's written here, looking, I-N-G, looking to Jesus. Not we once looked to him to save us, but it's ongoing. It's active. We are looking every day, every moment, locked eyes with Jesus Christ. Don't be distracted. Jesus said this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is the most important thing to your heart? Or, what do you treasure most? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus Christ? There was a fire that went through some homes on the news last night, and the only thing left this man could find in his house, the only thing that survived the fire of all that he owned, was an iron cross that was hanging over his bed in his bedroom. And he set that out against that pole, and I was thinking, my goodness, that is it. If all you had left was Jesus, would he be enough? Have you fixed your eyes, set your heart to treasure him above everything, so that if you lose it all, you've lost nothing compared to him? The founder, originator, pioneer, author, initiator of our faith. He ran the race first. Oh, and he ran it perfectly. No one will ever meet the mark he set. He ran it without sin. He ran it in total dependence, total surrender. He is the victor. And it's in his footsteps that we can run it all. He's the founder and the perfecter of our faith, the completer, the finisher. Jesus Christ, the focal point of our faith. Now remember, when we say the word faith, we really mean faith. We're talking faith here, which means that there are times in our lives constantly where we have to believe. We have to choose to set our faith in Christ. Trust him. When you feel this way, it's too hard. I can't do this. I'll never make it. I'll never be free from this sin. I cannot win this. I cannot do what I need over here. I don't have it in me. I keep tripping. I can't see the line. I can't go on. That's where faith comes alive. Jesus is the author, the one who began the work, and the completer, the finisher of our faith. Hold on to him. When you don't know if you can go on, look to Jesus. Lastly, our confidence. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. A few things jumped out to me in this. First of all, with the same wording, same word here, set. For the joy that was marked out before him. The course. God set before Jesus the course. Before there was time, he ordained that this would be the way salvation would happen. And the cross of Christ would be the highest display of love and grace and forgiveness. This is the way Jesus will save sinners. That course was set. That joy was set before him by God the Father. And he ran the race. He took the cross and endured it. The highest suffering the world will ever know, Jesus endured successfully. He survived. He made it. He made it. He knows what it's like to suffer. Jesus experienced suffering and shame, we can expect to experience the same. There's so many scriptures that speak to this. I think at times suffering just throws us off, and it's hard, it's real, it's painful. But when we are opposed, when we suffer, recall these verses. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember that the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. I would encourage Chick-fil-A CEO with that verse. Don't be surprised at opposition. Don't be surprised when you speak truth and show love that it's met with hatred. Don't respond with hatred and anger. Respond with love. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Resolve yourself to be ready for this. Be resolved to endure, persevere through persecution. Lastly, the word is matters. Despising the shame, and is seated. He is seated. Currently, he is. He is alive. He is victor. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. We know from other passages that he is literally our advocate and interceding for us on behalf of us. Jesus was victorious. Christian, we will be victorious. There is a finish line that God has appointed. When you reach that finish line, you will persevere, because Jesus doesn't start something and leave it unfinished. You will be victorious. Persevere. Response this morning, some questions. Are you listening to the witnesses? One thing I would say is we don't read enough history. Christians, we need to read more church history. You need to know some of these people. We need to know their stories. Start here, okay? Read through the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. Just read that once, and then look for names, and then go back and study them. But then don't stop there. Read church history. You need to know names like Luther and Augustine and Athanasius. Study Athanasius. It'll blow your mind. This guy was unbelievable in his perseverance to follow and obey. And then share the legacy of faith. We have, even here, amidst us who are still alive, those who have incredible witness and testimony of God's goodness and grace to bring us through, who are cheering us on together. Young people, kids, you listen. Look to those who are older who have walked with Jesus and listen to them cheer you on as you obey him and trust him. Are you disciplined? Does your desire translate to discipline? I'm not talking legalism. I'm talking action. Are you disciplined? Are you killing sin? Are you hunting down sin in your life and seeking to put it to death? Are you seeking to obey and submit and study and learn and grow? Be disciplined. We offer all kinds of opportunities to that end. Would encourage you to that. Are you running hard? Or are you just trotting along, meandering down through the race of faith? Are you at your stride? And if you aren't, what needs to happen? How can you gain? How can you grow? Are you looking to Jesus? Or have you become distracted? Victory awaits. There will be a day when you will cross the finish line. The question is, will you be running with all your might to Jesus? Or will you kind of be sliding across or drifting across or floating across? Resolve to run through the tape. Let's pray. Lord, strengthen us to be like this verse calls us to be. Help us to see this not as a suggestion, Father, but as a command that would propel us forward in our love and our obedience and our race as we run it. We ask you to help us in this. Certainly we know that of our own strength we get nowhere, and so we look to your Holy Spirit to be the power in our legs as we run, and the love in our heart, and the joy that overflows to others. Help us to bring others along as we run this race, to help them see Jesus and race alongside of us, run together to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.